This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
And that'll do it for the Astros on this Monday night. So the first night they wear the City Connect 2.0 uniforms, they manage just three hits offensively, drop the opener of this three-game series, 7-2. The Giants improve to 3-1 on the season. The Astros even up at two games apiece.
Six-point game. Here comes Van Vliet. And good if it goes. It's over. The Lakers have won. And they go to 46-29. They've won 3 of 4.
All right, there you go. Kevin Harlan on the call on that, the latter of the two final calls. Todd Callis on the call on the former. Not as fun today to come in and talk about the local teams as it was on Monday morning when you got the Cougs going to the Final Four, you got the Rockets running the Suns off of the floor, and you got the Astros going 2-1 against the Mets over the weekend. This was not quite as much fun. 7-2, the Astros lose last night, and the Rockets, they lose to the Lakers on the back end of a back-to-back. We've got a lot of stuff to get to on the show today. Brandon Scott is in for Seth Payne. Seth, a little under the weather today. Seth, get well soon. But B, it is good to see you, my friend.
And thanks. That,
let me just be clear. I don't want to mix you into the reasons why it feels a little worse to come in on Tuesday. I love doing radio with you.
Nah, man, it's great to be in here with you, man. But thanks a lot to the local teams for how they welcomed
them.
Me in here,
yes,
right? We're here to do a show together today, and they don't give me nearly as great a results on a Tuesday as they did for you and Seth. On a Monday, I personally, as a native Houstonian, feel a certain way about
I don't
like it.
As you should. It's good to see you, man.
Yeah, good to see you too, man. I was definitely, though, more okay with one of the losses than the other.
Well,
last
let's go.
I was more okay with the way that the Rockets lost last night than I was the way that the Astros lost, because the Astros, albeit only four games into the season, they're starting to show us a little bit of a theme here, or it's just been a lull offensively to start the season. Not the end of the world. Sky's not falling. Not punting on the season. We don't have to overreact, but it just doesn't feel good. It's not a good watch, and it's not an encouraging thing. Whereas the Rockets lost a game in which Dorian Finney-Smith and Gabe Vincent shot, that made six threes apiece. If that's going to be the way the Lakers beat the Rockets on any given night, I'll take that.
Yeah.
But the Astros not hitting their way out of a paper bag is not good.
Well, let's start with the Rockets then. We'll start there. And yeah, you're right. Like I stayed up until the end of the third quarter, and I'm like, well, I'll let this thing play out. And usually with me, I go to my sons, the group text I have with my two sons, when I go to bed before a Houston sporting event is over, particularly the Rockets, because they're both huge NBA fans. And I play a little game with myself where I get up at, 2:30 in the morning, hit the restroom, usually once a night, and I'll take my phone. When there was a game that I missed the end of, I'm like, oh, okay, well, let's see what happened. So this is what I woke up to this text exchange between my son James and Sammy after I said, headed to bed, try to bring home a dub, boys. I woke up to James saying, dude, F Fred VanVleet, effing statue on defense and not doing bleep on offense. What a soft technical foul. Wow. And then Fred VanVleet's getting a whole lot more here. Jalen should be in this game right now. VanVleet's been really bad.
Yeah.
Fred VanVleet was taking some on the group text. It didn't end with any texts that said, at least we got the dub.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, well, they definitely lost this game. Now I need to go see what the final score is. You watched the whole game.
Yeah, last night was not a good night for Fred VanVleet. Might be the Rockets' most important player guy.
Two for 14?
Two for 14, Sean. And the whole statue on defense part, like they were hunting the mismatch. Obviously, Fred's not a very big guy.
Right.
And so if you've got any kind of level of size out there, you're going to try to exploit that mismatch. I mean, LeBron's catching them in the post and just discarding them as soon as he gets there. And then Fred, for whatever reason, just has this green light where he can shoot any shot. Like even, you know, we talk about the Rockets in the past of shooting bad shots, not taking good shots, and then Fred VanVleet comes in there and he's the brain of the team and now they take better shots. It's like everybody else on the team takes better shots with Fred VanVleet out there, except for freaking Fred VanVleet himself. And especially on a night when he can't hit anything, 2 for 14 from the field, 1 for 7 from three. Now, Jalen Green didn't necessarily have a great shooting night. Yeah. But he threatens the defense in a much different way on far more levels of the floor. And to me, it's just obviously a much more dynamic player. I'm not breaking new ground there. But Fred VanVleet and the trust in Fred VanVleet seemed to – it felt like it backfired last night. I definitely feel where your boys were coming from.
Yeah, it's wild, man. And it's interesting. Like, Ime has really started to go to a shorter bench in some of these games. You know, the only guys that played off the bench were Jabari, Tari, and Steven Adams. If I had told you before this game that LeBron, Luka, and Austin Reeves would combine for 16 for 39 and 3 for 14 from 3, I would have said the Rockets probably win this game by 8 to 10 points.
Yeah.
If I told you that's what they were shooting, but you're right, it was the others last night.
Right. And not only would I say they'd probably win the game, but I'd say, okay, do that again. That's why I'm coming from it in that from the perspective of, that I am today of like, hey, I don't trust them to be able to duplicate. They're going to need LeBron, and I also don't trust LeBron and Luka to be bad every night
or
not so good every night. So you figure something is going to correct itself there, or that the you know the math will math at some point. But if their formula is going to be, hey, Dorian Finney-Smith, and you know like the Gabe Vincent, the scraps of our bench are going to be the guys, or our role players are going to be the guys to hit not six threes between them, but six threes apiece.
12 of 24 the two of them were combined.
And that you'd still only lose by six, I'll take that.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it.
I'd
for
definitely
sure
take that.
That's one way to look at it. Rockets still a game and a half up on Denver. They finished the season with the Nuggets. That could come down the two seed. The right to face whoever wins the first play-in game could come down to that last game against Denver. And the Rockets play Utah later this week. They've got no more back-to-backs left, so thank God. It feels like they've played more back-to-backs this season than the last two seasons combined.
Yeah.
No back-to-backs left, but after this Utah game, they are out over their skis. Oklahoma State at home, at Golden State, at the two LA teams again. So this isn't even – they have six games left. They're going back out to the West Coast again. What a wild schedule. So the last five games of the year, home OKC, at Golden State, at the Clippers, at the Lakers, and then home against Denver. Those are all teams that are in the top six or seven, basically. Yeah, they're all teams that are in the top. Clippers are seven right now. So they're all teams that... So you're getting a preview. You are getting a look at the buffet. It's like you're getting appetizers of the thing. You have to pick, like, you're going to get five different appetizers and you're going to have to eat one of these as the main dish in the first round, probably.
Yeah, and prepare yourself for it. Like, and it's really all of the teams are in that situation, right? Like, what matchup are you hunting for the playoffs? And then even that Denver game, Sean, what's interesting about that is like, okay, so what's it going to look like? We know that it's helter skelter right now.
Yeah.
Is it going to be different in a week or so?
Yeah.
Like is a team going to go on a run or on a skid that's going to make that game specifically for Denver and the Rockets feel different?
Yeah.
You know, like, is one of those teams going to rest their starters because they're already the 2, the 3, the 4, the 5 or whatever it is. You know, that's the interesting part.
And I would say too, like the thing that I look at last night, the missed opportunities. The only two games they've lost in this recent stretch were last night and then to Denver without Jokic a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
They win those two games. And again, you know, so you're 12-2 or whatever it is over 14 games. I can't get too upset over two losses. It's just that you lost to those two specific teams. If you had beaten Denver, you're 3.5 up on them for the 2 seed.
Yeah.
Right now you're 1.5. If you beat the Lakers last night, then you're basically either the 2 or the 3. You're 4.5 games up on the Lakers with 5 or 6 games to go for either team.
Yeah.
So big missed opportunities just in terms of securing your spot where you know you're going to get a home court advantage in the first round, that kind of thing. I think they're still going to get it.
Yeah.
But it's going to be tough sled. Yeah, you're going to need maybe OKC load manages that night that you go to OKC.
That's what I'm saying.
13 games up on everybody.
Yeah,
right now.
That's what I'm saying. And maybe another team load manages not because they're the 1 seed like OKC, but because they feel like they're either locked into the seed that they're in, or that they're going to make the playoffs, and they don't really care as much about the matchup as they do about making sure that they're healthy at the end. But I'd point out again about those two games that they lost, the missed opportunity, not just the opportunity cost that you're talking about, but the other side of the opportunity cost was that was a Jokic-less night when you had the Nuggets. Now, and also, you haven't been very good against good teams as of late. Overall, for the season, they've been very good against good teams.
That's what's wild. They were really good against good teams earlier this year.
As of late, not so much, but you lose to the Jokic-less Nuggets at home, and then you do the same thing. And then you go on the road and lose to the Lakers on a night where Luka and LeBron are not brilliant.
All right. I would say we spent the appropriate amount of time on the right game. The Rockets game was a much more watchable game than the Astros and their 469 OPS through 4 games.
Sean, they've got, to my count now, they've got 3 extra base hits over 4 games. They've got the Pena home run, the Yordan double from a few days ago, and then I think Isak Paredes had a double last night. He hit one off the wall.
He did. He did. Late in the game. Eighth inning.
And pretty much too little too late at that point. Yeah. And then they ended up getting it right back in the ninth inning. The Giants did. The two runs that Isak Paredes knocks in, they ended up getting those right
off
back.
Off of Montero.
Yeah. Right? So it's
still
like,
useless, by the
way. Yeah, man. It's just it is not. Again, sky not falling. I still think the Astros are going to be good. Not necessarily World Series good, but really, really good. But this is not a good feeling through the first 4 games.
Well, again, similar to what you said about the Rockets, if you had told me, and their record is such and such, like if you told me they're going to have a 469 OPS through the first 4 games, and they're 2-2, they were 0-4 this time last year. So, you know, but of course, Ronel Blanco was then pitching a no-hitter in the first win of the season. That was not a no-hitter last night. He wasn't awful last night. I have a feeling that this is what Ronel Blanco is going to settle into, though. It felt like he was pitching over his head a lot of time last year, and he saw some kind of holes in his game in the second half. The thing Ronel Blanco cannot afford to do, because he's not Hunter Brown, he's not Framber Valdez, he's not Spencer Arrighetti as far as his stuff goes, he cannot afford to, when you pick a guy off, throw behind the base stealer to first base.
Yeah.
And then moments later, field a bunt and just uncompetitively swallow it when it's clearly spinning foul. He did that. The second run that the Giants scored last night was entirely due to Ronel Blanco brain farts out there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. It's like, man, give me a little bit better of an effort there on that bunt. It was a decent bunt, don't get me wrong, but at the same time,
spinning out. You could tell it was going to roll. Once it got on the dirt, it was going to roll off the dirt, I thought.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But also, it was the strategy, and this is more to the Ronel Blanco point.
Yeah.
It did feel like it was the strategy to small ball Ronel Blanco to death, whether it was on the base pass or actually dropping that bunt that they did. Like, they saw something in Ronel Blanco's game that they were trying to exploit in terms of being able to run on him.
Yeah.
So that's something that they're definitely going to have to watch out for.
All right, D'Amico Ryans met with the media yesterday. League meetings. So we got to get into the league meetings. I believe today is the day that we get the vote from the 32 NFL teams on things like the tush push, overtime rules changing, seeding in the playoffs changing, which is highly relevant to the Houston Texans historically, that the 4 seed might not get a home field or a home game in the playoffs necessarily as a division winner. So we're going to get into all that. We'll try to predict what the league is going to do today with some of these votes. D'Amico Ryans met with the media yesterday. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball. Commented on the reports of toxicity in the offensive line room. What did DeMeco have to say about that? We'll hear from the Texans head coach coming up next.